As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Today on the radio show, Wednesdays are always jam-packed. We got John Martin in the next segment. Then we got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. And then Sam Hardiman to talk to us about the city of Memphis after that. Wednesday, yes, Wednesday is jam-packed. Jeffrey, in an effort to avoid talking about the NBA for a minute, I thought, you know, sometimes over at the Early Word, which is the email that the Daily Memphian sends out, I don't know if it's just the subscribers now or not. I think it might be. A lot of times, Bianca, who writes it, does a great job. We'll tell you what day it is.
Sure.
You know, like it's National Bagel Day,
yep,
or National Cheeseburger Day or whatever else. And so I literally was like, well, it's got to be some interesting day today that, you know, that could distract us for a minute. So let me give you some choices, okay? It's World Table Tennis Day.
Okay.
How do you feel about table tennis?
It's fine. It's an activity.
How do you feel about people who insist you call it table tennis instead of ping pong?
You're pretentious a-holes.
I'm not a a-hole, but...
No, you are.
Like, you're someone
that insists, like, I know more than you do.
Okay. It's World Book Day.
Yes. So I suppose, allegedly, it is William Shakespeare's birthday.
Oh, is that why?
That
would make sense because it's also...
There's a lot of English literature.
Like Shakespeare, yeah. Day, which wasn't nearly as popular as the Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Correct.
Okay, that makes sense. It's World Book Day. It's World English Language Day.
I would imagine those are related.
Right. Weirdly enough, also World Spanish Language Day. World, and this could have to do with the Grizzlies, Slay a Dragon Day.
Mm. Yeah,
I mean, it's National Slay a Dragon Day. How about this one? It's Secretary Day.
Mm-hmm. Professional assistants.
I was going to say secretaries don't exist anymore, do they?
I saw another.
Another
new one. Administrative professionals.
Like back in the 1960s, 70s, 50s, whatever, mm-hmm, there was, and you would, people would have secretaries, and
correct,
then on Secretary's Day,
yeah,
was a big thing, and you'd bring flowers or chocolate or, you know, whatever else. Now it feels like... Are there secretaries? Does anyone call themselves a secretary? First of all, everyone does their own. You have
scheduling,
assistants,
right,
but yeah, everyone does their own typing now. You know, it used to be, yeah.
Right. I think there are still assistants.
There are still assistants.
Yeah.
People have personal assistants.
But that also feels like a job that's largely gone away because, A, like.
We all do our own stuff,
right,
mostly.
Everyone can type now. Schedules are a lot easier to maintain.
But people I would love to have a personal assistant. Like, although I'd feel guilty. I'd feel like, what am I giving this person to do today? But just when I need to make up travel plans or whatever else, that would be great.
This is the problem with your kids getting out of the house. That's largely their job.
it's not my kid's job. Mm-hmm. No, I needed more of a personal assistant when I had the kids around. Mm-hmm. Then it was, could you take the schlepper? National Take a Chance Day, does that one appeal to you?
Does that mean I should gamble today?
National Picnic Day seems weird that it is on April 23rd. Who, like, doesn't seem like, I mean, it's been sort of nice recently here, but across the country, I would think too early for picnic.
Yeah, but then you run into the, okay, across the country, probably the dates that would be appropriate.
It's too hot here?
For us, we'd have people that are like, I'm not going out.
How about this one? National Lovers Day.
Mm.
National Lovers Day. But the one that I settled on that I think deserves a, well, there's National Cherry Cheesecake Day.
I'm not a cheesecake guy.
No, really. I didn't know that about you.
Something about the texture taste. I don't know.
I can see that. It has definitely a distinct
not for
texture
me.
Taste. Okay. The one that I've decided probably needs a day because it's an underrated item.
Okay.
National English Muffin Day.
I can support this.
I think English muffins are like,
underrated.
You know who gets all the attention? Bagels get all the attention.
Or biscuits
or
get too much attention.
Biscuits get way too much attention, right? And then scones now get attention. Mm. Claire
Do
makes
they?
Delicious scones. Yeah, but whatever. They're like, a lot of times you go to now one of these bakeries where you get the coffee and whatever.
Sure.
What do they have there? They have scones. You know, partly that is because you can't tell if scone is stale or not.
It's fresh, right? It's stale.
You can't tell if it's stale or not. Comes pre-staled for you. Right. So, but the English muffin is a wildly underrated product, and it's great for, you can eat an English muffin, you know, with just butter or something on it,
sure.
But it's really
jelly
best in a sandwich form.
Absolutely. And it doesn't fall apart.
It doesn't fall apart like a biscuit. It's a much better. It's why McDonald's, when it was doing what it did,
the Egg McMuffin.
They said, we're going to use English
forever.
Muffins for this. And it's one of the products where there is, and this isn't true for everything, there is clearly a superior brand, and nothing has come close. The Thomas's English Muffin is the English Muffin.
Yeah, agreed.
What else is
what's
like
the
that?
Commercial? Tomas?
Is it?
There's like a commercial going on.
I think it's so underrated, I don't see commercials for it.
Kleenex?
Is Kleenex the best Kleenex? I don't know.
In my experience, yes.
Kleenex is the best Kleenex?
Yes. I mean, the thing is now Kleenex has so many different types.
Kleenex is very clearly synonymous with the thing that is Kleenex, right? But I didn't know that a Kleenex is actually a superior Kleenex to a knockoff Kleenex.
Yeah, I mean, as someone who has massive allergies, I can tell.
You can tell if you're getting a real, actual Kleenex. Anyway, to all of you out there, happy English Muffin Day. So, however you choose to celebrate. Listen, I'm trying, man. I'm trying my best. Grizzlies lose last night. And my God. Listen, it turned out.
It was a different type of loss.
It turned out okay. I mean, whatever. Like, the third quarter. Listen.
They won a quarter.
They won the third quarter.
It's the first quarter they've won in the series.
They're figuring, that's what I'm going to, my spin here going to be, Jeffrey, they are figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
They won the third quarter. Not even did they win it, they won it handily.
Yeah, multiple possessions.
27-20, they won the third quarter. They very clearly, well, I mean, it is amazing because the opening of this game was so excruciating.
Oh, yeah.
It was.
Well, they were getting stops.
It was just miss after miss after miss after miss.
Isn't there a little bit of you that's like, at least those people in Oklahoma City have to stand up?
Oh, I did enjoy them standing up. And then Holmgren misses it. Even when they go to the line, Holmgren misses the first.
Well, and then they made the second one. You could kind of see they were all like looking around like, does this count?
Does one free throw count?
Now, is it a make
or
is it a?
Exactly. No, I think it's definitely, at that point, listen, you're not being fussy. I hate the stand up until they score thing. I've always hated it for this exact reason. You can just be standing there for forever.
Mm-hmm.
I've remembered it. There were Memphis Tiger games where they've done that, where you get to the first timeout.
Yeah.
And then and they
have
scored.
Do we have to stand up?
We have to stand through the timeout, or we sit down and then have to
get back up
again.
You know, the worst thing you do is sit down, because once you sit down, then you stand up and it's harder.
I was in pain watching it though. I was just in pain because, by the way, whatever you think, and in game one, it appeared they gave up. this was not a product of them not in the first 5 or 10 minutes, not competing or not wanting it or not whatever else.
The defensive effort was noticeably improved.
Noticeably improved.
Were actually closing out. They were. It was not an effort issue.
It was just 100, and it was clearly in their heads. Like, you know when you're going up against this freaking colossus, and you know when you were just humiliated in the way they're humiliated, that you have to make shots, which makes it harder to make shots.
Yeah,
on top of the way that Oklahoma City guards, but they were open shots. They're missing open shots.
Absolutely,
too. They're pressing. They were in their heads. It's very clearly, and then you're down, 17-6.
Yeah. I mean,
and at that point, if you ever had any illusions that they might win the game or it might be a nail biter or whatever else, right then they were done for the rest of the game and you could switch and watch hockey.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Hockey wasn't that great.
Monday night
hockey was electric.
I ended up watching Leafs Ottawa went to OT.
Yeah. That was a good game.
And I watched. It was a sloppy game.
Yeah,
it
but you had bad
and
blood
game.
And the crowd's super into
the
it.
Battle of Ontario. And there I do what I do in the Stanley Cup playoffs every year now. I root against the former Buffalo Sabre.
Respect.
Who the Sabres traded away because I don't want them to look more stupid. So Dylan Cousins was this year. And Dylan Cousins, sure enough, in OT, was one of the two players who sort of waved helplessly as Ty's the dad. Max Domi scored the overtime winner.
So did you stay up to enjoy Jack Eichel getting pummeled?
I enjoyed that. I didn't watch Jack Eichel getting pummeled.
That was something.
I didn't. So, but anyway, so it was truly excruciating. Truly excruciating.
I just wished it was on NBA TV.
But better. Oh, yeah. But better. Well, that's the other thing. Is Thursday's game is a late game on TNT.
I know.
And the other game is on NBA TV.
I know. I wish last night would have been.
So, I just felt, and this is my, listen, in terms of the game itself, I saw you tweeted out anyone who thought this was just a Brandon Clark and Jalen Walsh problem.
I stand by this.
Well, I agree completely. I don't know that anyone said that. Like, they lost every game in the regular season when they had Jalen Wells and Brandon Clark by 18.
There are a lot of people that were saying it makes a difference.
It does make a difference.
Sure. They'll get beat by 18.
Yes, it makes no difference in terms of whether they're going to win the series.
Correct.
None. It makes a difference in terms of could they be more competitive with Brandon Clark and Jalen Wells? And I think they could have been more competitive with Brandon Clark and Jalen Wells. But in terms of changing the outcome of the series or even one game of the series.
No.
Someone responded to you and said, listen, last week when we were talking about this series and whether we wanted them to lose Friday or not, and we both ultimately, maybe wrongly, by the way, concluded that we wanted them to win the game last Friday, we both just took it for granted that this series was...
No, I knew what was coming down the pike.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. We took it for granted that this series was going to be a 4-0 sweep. That was part of the excruciating part of it.
Yeah, no, I actually... I didn't publicly, but I want the exposure. I want this all in plain sight. I don't want you to be able to hide.
You voted win.
I did.
Okay, so you still want that?
No,
okay,
I want this.
Yeah, my point is, we all knew this was coming.
Yes,
I don't think there's any doubt that anyone knew that this was coming, and anyone's maybe they're surprised by the 51 because it's only happened.
It's never happened in a game one.
Right. So never happened in a game one. So. But I don't think anyone is surprised by, they lost by 19 last night. That's what they do. They lost by 18 on average,
this was average
during the regular season. This was what they do against Oklahoma City. This is the normal thing that they do against Oklahoma City. So I do understand I want the exposure element of this. But I am fundamentally, here's the thing. I want good things for the city. And this is supposed to be fun. The playoffs in Memphis in the spring have historically, not forever, but historically been fun. They represent
best part of the calendar.
Growl towels.
Yeah.
And they represent whoop that trick. And they represent believe Memphis. And they represent all of those things. And so it really pains me that it has gone this way, and that most people, some people are angry. I think more people are disappointed, saddened, whatever else, by the fact that there is this. And here's the problem for me is that, you know, I was looking back at the 2011 series. I started reading about it again last night. And before that 2011 series, they sold out that year four regular season games in 2011. And if you look at the attendance leading up, the seasons leading up to it, it was pretty dismal. But what that series did, where they beat San Antonio and then they had the extraordinary series against Oklahoma City, and you had people holding up their Believe Memphis towels. That was the theme of that particular playoff series, was Believe Memphis. It totally transformed the relationship of the city to the basketball team.
Totally agree.
It then became, as Andy Dolich used to say, part of the DNA of the city.
Yeah.
Because of that, like, playoffs can have critical momentum building or franchise fortune shifting impact. And that playoff series did for the good. Now, there were ups and downs from there. There was a year that they were bounced by the Clippers early. There was the disappointing Game 7 when you were there and I was in the building.
That was next year.
And then there was the year they go to the finals, and then there was the, you know, there was the year when everyone was hurt and they were doing a gunfight with spoons.
Jaeger cried.
And then but fundamentally, we've been living off the momentum of that team and that series, even though the team was then recreated around Ja and Jaren and like, we've been living off the momentum of that ever since it happened. And the people who became Grizzly fans, a whole lot of people in the city became Grizzly fans then.
Yeah.
Don't you believe that?
Totally.
And my concern is that this series could have the opposite effect. Because already, I think, the way the season unfolded, there was a lot of, let's just call it, ambivalence about this team, right? People got sick of the Ja stuff, you know, whatever. The load management across the league, but particularly with the Grizzlies, the way that...
Did you see the clip from Mark?
Didn't Mark, seem to be an urgency.
Mark Zebo and Tony did a podcast, and the clip that's going around is Tony said, I asked Jaren if we played y'all in a series, what would it be? And Jaren said 4-1. And Mark's response was, how many games are they playing?
Right. Yes, right. Yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine. I agree with all of that.
Yeah.
I just don't find it beneficial at a time when the lease is up.
Sure.
I don't find it to be beneficial. Like, people are wondering how many people are going to be there Thursday, right? And I'm wondering myself how many people are going to be there Thursday. And I'm not going to be the person who's saying you have to go out and spend whatever, however many dollars to see a game where you know your team is going to lose. But I will say this. This is a franchise. This is a city that once upon a time went to exhibition games and exhibition games and exhibition games and exhibition games because they wanted to prove, even though who the hell cared about those exhibition games, that they were worthy of something. Now, I'm not saying the city has to prove that they're worthy of something at all, but if the exposure... I don't find just loathing this team to be productive. I don't think at this moment that loathing this team is productive. And indeed, like, I don't expect people to believe that they're going to win Thursday or believe that they're going to win Saturday. But I am very clear about one thing. The Memphis Grizzlies have been a massive, massive asset to the city of Memphis, have helped redefine how Memphians think about themselves, how the city thinks about themselves. And just yesterday, for example, there was in front of city council, the zoo said that their income has plummeted because of the Eliza Fletcher and Ezekiel Kelly stuff.
That's sure.
Ever since that summer. And so you have, it feels like there is this vast momentum going the other way, the reverse of what we had in 2011, right? Where there were, and And listen, it would be wonderful. And part of the reason you pay the $500 million for a new stadium is so you have an NBA team that helps flip that around.
Sure.
Right? That helps create positive momentum, that helps recreate the good feeling. And I wish we had that team this year. We very clearly don't, right? Like, we don't. But I don't know. Like, I don't want there to be, I don't want to look around Thursday night and have it be empty. For the way it will feel that night, for the way it will feel for the players who sure, whatever. Like, but like, is Desmond Bane a bad guy? No. Is Jaren a bad guy? Jaren is the same guy who's out there getting vaccinated and telling you to vote. And Jaren is one of the good dudes in the world. And very clearly, they are, like, why did they miss the shots? Because they didn't care? No, they didn't miss the shots because they didn't care. They're not good enough to beat Oklahoma City.
I think you make the argument that why they in this series is because they didn't care.
I don't think it's they. I think it's the organization.
That's what I'm saying.
The organization did not care about winning enough.
Yes.
That's 100% true. So do I want them to leave? Here's what I really believe is that the lease is up this year.
Yeah.
So I don't want an empty building. I don't want to feel like it's a, I don't want to feel like it's a, you know,
are we supposed to subsidize their bad decisions?
No. I'm not saying you're subsidizing your bad decisions. But are you supposed to, in the end, okay, fine. If not subsidizing their bad decisions has them leave, would you do that?
No.
Okay, there.
But so at I'm the not same saying, time, like, this you is can such be, a, it's such a one-sided
no,
relationship.
No, it's not, because I think even this year, did Memphians get great things out of the Grizzlies being here? Has it not been a positive to have the Grizzlies in town?
I mean, define
yes,
great,
the answer is yes.
Great things?
Good things. It's not better than worse. It's not one-sided. They won freaking 48 games. It's not a one-sided relationship.
How many games do you remember them winning?
I remember them winning 48 games.
Okay, but I'm talking about how many games, like the actual game, where you're like, that was a great moment. Friday night counts.
Friday night certainly counts. Beating the hell out of Golden State counts. Like, okay. There are 48 wins along the way, and those are, I mean, I don't know. Here's the truth. If you want to rip them on your show,
sure,
and rip the organization on your show, rip the organization on your show. I am very disappointed at the way they have built the team and at the around the three stars, right? And I'm very disappointed in the way that they're what I seem to be an arrogant lack of urgency to win,
yes,
during the regular season. And that is why they are where they are. And I accept all that. And I think we've said that over and over and over again.
Okay.
Right? I am now sort of to the point that, okay, what do we do? Like, what do we do with
yeah,
that?
No, I think that's a fair question.
What do we do with that? A, what will they do with it? Right? What will they do? What will Zach Kleiman be back? Will Isolo be back? But then the other question is what do we as a community do? Right? And as the community, you can say, or what one could say, what we should do is we should just, no one should buy a ticket tomorrow and go and let them know how we feel. Right?
Never once said that.
Right. No, but one could say that. What do we as a community do? And honestly, I think tomorrow's still a game. Again, people can do whatever they want with their money, right? I'm not, do whatever they want with their money. I enjoyed that Friday night felt like a playoff game should feel in Memphis. I enjoyed that. And I would like it if tomorrow night felt like a playoff game should feel in Memphis. That would be my preference, rather than screw this, I'll check back next year. That would be my preference. I would rather it feel like Friday night.
I agree, and I think they could do some things too. Like, number one, reevaluate your ticket pricing.
They aren't going to between 10 a.m. and tomorrow. They're not going to reevaluate their ticket pricing.
Okay, well then you want the building full or not?
You think they're going to just cut the prices in half by tomorrow?
I mean,
how about the people who've already bought tickets?
I presume most of the tickets that are unsold are up top. And it's ridiculous that you have to pay $75 to sit all the way back.
Here's the problem is, it's not ridiculous if you look at other prices in the league.
Okay,
it's just not. And so what your answer is then fine. They could go to Seattle where there would be plenty of rich people
to
pay those prices.
In the arena that belongs to the NHL?
They will build you an arena in Seattle.
They tried.
They will build you. Are you telling me you don't? I mean, this is a ridiculous conversation. You don't think there's any threat they could leave?
Oh, I definitely think there's a threat that they could leave.
There's a lot of richer cities
Vegas.
Right, exactly. There's a lot of richer cities where people would be happy to pay $65 to sit upstairs. Memphis ticket, you want to look at the Memphis ticket prices compared to other Memphis, other prices of others? I guarantee you, bottom 10% of the league.
Are the tickets sold?
I that's not my point. My point is that the ticket prices are low for the league.
Right.
It's ridiculous. So the answer is then fine, leave.
They're not, by the way, that's wrong. They're not low.
They are low
for
the
league. They love to push this narrative that they're the bottom tickets. That is not true anymore. They are now squarely in the middle.
That's fine. Squarely in the middle. They are not. That's fine. They're typical for the league. I'll look that up.
Yeah. I mean, you can.
But again, I get back to this. I would, if you are out there, and you are pondering whether to go for one last game or not. Jeffrey evidently thinks you should stay home.
Never said that.
And let the team freaking move.
Never said that.
I would tell you that this would be a good time to think about how much the Grizzlies have meant to the community over the years and think, God, won't it suck if you look up tomorrow and there's 8,000 people in the building? And so if you are on the fence, given that this is a critical moment, that there is no extension of the lease, that this team has been an incredible asset to this city for 25 years now, that maybe it'd be good to go stand by the franchise and the team that has meant so much to this city and this team. And that's where we part ways, I guess. I would like tomorrow night to feel like Friday night. As close as it could, because that was, anyone in the building understands how much fun that was. And it was a blast. And I just think, honestly, like I think about how much it's meant. You know, if you're 25, maybe you're not aware what it was like in the years before the Grizzlies came here, and the endless campaign to try to bring something like the Grizzlies here. And you have a franchise that in 24 years has been to the playoffs 10 times. The Detroit Pistons just won their freaking first playoff game in forever. This franchise has done very, very well by the city of Memphis. It has done very well by the city of Memphis. It has been a very good citizen to the city of Memphis. And this year is unquestionably disappointing for the reasons that Jeffrey and I agree on. I don't know. Like, we'll see. We'll see what it's like. And I certainly did not expect this. Do you want to say something, Jeffrey?
I never said don't go to the game.
Okay. Do you want to say anything else? I mean, I just want to restate your position on all of this? Because I don't want to be speaking for you.
No, I mean, I never told people to not go to the game.
Okay, that's fine. I take that back.
I think where we disagree is I am fundamentally with you in terms of the importance and the needing to rally around the team.
Right.
I would also like for them to say hand up on a couple of things, which they have clearly not done. Not only do they not say hand up, they kind of push back and like, you don't get it.
I don't know in terms of hand up on a lot of things. All I hear is Zach Kleiman saying is hand up, hand up, hand up. Like he said that every single time. Like whatever you say about Zach Kleiman, in terms of he has never said.
I'm not really targeting Kleiman as much here.
Right. He has never said anything other than I went too young, put it on me, whatever else. So, whatever. I don't.
I'm talking about a lot of the business people.
That's fine. What's interesting is this goes back to the playoffs are supposed to be fun. Playoffs are supposed to be fun. And it's supposed to be growl towels and whoop that trick. And I'm still of the view that tomorrow night can be. I don't have any illusions and never did that they would win this series or win a game in this series. If they're going to win a game,
tonight's the night.
Like if you look at their other sweeps, the games where they were close, the Dirk Nowitzki hitting the shot from wherever the hell it was.
I was in that building.
I was in that building too. Those are the games where it's going to be. So, no, it's obviously, I mean, there's so many things that you could go in on in terms of, it's interesting how you go from being King Kleiman to being Kleiman should be fired in 2 years.
Denver just fired the executive of the year.
Denver just fired the executive. The Hawks just fired their GM.
Kings.
It is the way of sports. Like, this is, you are as good as your last win. You know, you are as good as certainly your last playoff run or whatever else. But it's too bad that Jeffrey and I are at hammer and tong here. But that's the mood that it that's the mood of the week. So what we'll do is we will take a break and come back and talk to John Martin. Maybe not so much about this. Penny talked yesterday. What'd you think, Jeffrey?
So he didn't close the door on PJ. I do think...
You think his tone closed the door on PJ?
Yeah, I will say, though, it feels like with PJ, the question's going to be, are you going to value the money or are you going to value the opportunity to be a point guard? Because I don't think you're going to get both.
I think anyone who tells him he's going to be a point guard is lying. They're lying in the same way.
Paying him $4 million.
They're not going to. He's not a point guard. So maybe he'll be a combo point guard and they'll call him a quote unquote point guard and he won't actually be a point guard. I mean, that's possible, right? Anyway, we'll talk to John about that. Chris Harrington joins us straight up at 10 o'clock and Sam Hardiman after that. It's Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. If you're buying a diamond ring, if you're thinking about getting engaged, Robert Irwin Jewelers would be the place to go for a whole lot of reasons. One is, and honestly, for me, the biggest reason is it's just a pleasure. And when you're making a purchase like that, you don't want pressure. You don't want, you know, people to intimidate you. You don't want to feel like you have to sell your kidney to buy a diamond ring, or you're not doing well by your person or whatever else. You just want someone to walk you through it and explain it and make it a joy, because it's supposed to be a joyful moment. And that's what they do at Robert Irwin Jewelers. In addition to that, by the way, just for example, you got the meant to be guarantee, which means you have a 365-day no questions asked return policy. Plus all the other stuff that they have, the 24 months deferred interest or take up 60 months to pay, the free ring sizing, the free jewelry spa service, all of that. But it is, I'm telling you, it is the place. If you're thinking about getting engaged, walk on in there and tell them we sent you. They got 5 locations, Perkins Extended in East Memphis. That's the one that I go to. The Bartlett Town Center, South Lake Center in South Haven, 2 locations in Little Rock. It's bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers online at RIJewelers.com. John Martin joins me now. John, one of the segments on your show that I'm profoundly envious of course, is the fade Brad Carson, where you take his NBA bets and you urge people to do just the opposite. Where are we now on the fade Brad project?
We're hurting right now. Brad's 7-3 this year.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Brad is 7-3.
And what do you?
We may have to kill the segment.
what do you chalk that up to? Do you think the results have been predictable, obvious, whatever so far? I mean, is that what's across the league?
A lot of the favorites have been winning and covering. I also think this is just true generally when it comes to betting on sports. No person has a particular skill for losing, right? It's just not something that you possess. Like, oh, I know how to get all these games wrong, you know, because if you had that skill, you would be able to get them all right.
You could just, literally, you could just in your head do what Brad's doing and what you're urging people to do with Brad and do the opposite.
So what it means is that nobody necessarily has a particular penchant for picking the wrong side. That's one of the things that I'll catch Brad saying. Like, you know, Brad will say things like, you know, I, these are, you know, this is really how I feel. You know, I'm not just coming up here and Well, you know, he wouldn't know. He wouldn't know what the right side or the wrong side is because we can't see into the future, right? But I will say this. It's early. It's 10 games in. It's a long postseason. I think we ended up getting to, like, 75, 80 picks last year. He's off to a nice start, but, you know, let's see how this all winds up by the end.
All right, when it comes to the Grizzlies, if you were Robert Parra, would you fire Zach Kleiman? Would you hire a new coach? Would you trade one of your big three?
Are you, like, asking me, like...
I'm asking, would you do one of those things?
Are you asking me, would I do all of them? I
mean, I'd like you to weigh in on all three. I find the third question that I asked to be a useless question because the answer to that is always, what for? You know, like, for what? Would I trade Ja for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? Even though he's had a... That's the other part of this, is that the series has gone badly, and he's been dreadful relative to his performance during the season. So, yeah, forget the third one, because I honestly don't find that to be productive. Would you change GM or coach?
I mean, I think they definitely need to do a real coaching search, yeah. I don't particularly believe that Isolo has the juice. Just doesn't. I mean, I'm not really basing that on anything other than vibes, you know. But I don't like watch the Grizzlies and think like, oh yeah, they've got their coach, man. This is the guy. You know, respect to what he did in Europe and things like that. But he just gives me the vibes of a guy who is extremely easy to tune out when things go badly, because like he doesn't have that personality, you know, he's kind of meek, you know. I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, he's obviously a very
he's not in your face guy.
I would say the same thing about Mark Degnaud, right?
He's not either. Seemed to work okay for him,
you know.
I think
organizationally, and I'm not in there, so I don't necessarily know this to be exactly true, but I feel like we kind of know how they behave. My guess is Mark Daigneault has some level of autonomy over there. You know, he gets to do things the way he wants to do them. My guess is he probably doesn't have to check in with the general manager about all the decisions that he makes.
I doubt that.
I don't know. Maybe he does.
I think the old school coach who runs things and tells the GM to get out of my gym is kind of a thing of the past.
It doesn't have to be that extreme. It doesn't have to be get out of my gym. It's just like, are you going to let me coach this team? Am I going to have to defer to somebody else? Like, I guess
my thought about it is that I just wonder, I've thought all along that the key to this is what Jaren Jha and Dez think about it. Right. If they came in but what's weird is that Chris said before last Friday's game that he thought one of the perils of losing the game last Friday and missing the playoffs is it might really shape what Ja, Jaren, and Dez, you know, particularly Ja, Jaren, because he has a contract up, because Ja, because he's Ja, what they think about being part of the organization, right? If they miss the playoffs 2 years in a row, will they just want to say the hell with this? Like, that could be a franchise-changing event to miss the playoffs 2 years in a row, right? To plunge from second to out of the playoffs. And I think what we're seeing is this series, and again, we don't know. We don't know what the reactions will be from Robert Parra, from Zach Kleiman, from Isolo, or from any of the players. But I don't think you go through a humiliation like this and not be changed by it, you know? Don't you think? Like, here's the thing. If this radio station were just getting crushed in the ratings every single, you know, our ratings plummet, right? You know what I wouldn't want to do? Blame myself. You know what I would want to do? Blame Brad or blame Odyssey or blame anything but me. You know, I think that's kind of human nature. And so when the whole country is piling on you, and thank God they won the third quarter and they were respectable last night, I think the temptation might be to do something that you wouldn't otherwise do, right? To overreact to this, or to react, maybe it's not to overreact, that this could change the direction of the franchise in certain ways. What do you make of all of that?
So I'm glad you pointed that out because, like, this is one of the things that I love him and I respect him to death. But one of the things that Mark Giannato, like, he had a very bad, and I would say this to his face, he had a very bad habit of any reaction to anything got labeled as an overreaction, right? Like, if Memphis basketball lost to South Florida and I said they weren't going to finish in the top three of the league, it was like, it was an overreaction, right? But sometimes a reaction is just a reaction, right? Sometimes I'm taking the information that I have or that I've been given, and I am reacting to it. And sometimes it's an overreaction, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes there's actually justification for something fundamentally changing. I thought the Grizzlies' ego death took place, you know, last year, you know, after the bottom fell out and everything, but in case it didn't.
You say ego death, you mean organizationally?
Yeah, because, you know, there it's insane how fast this stuff happens in the league, man. But people don't remember 2-3 years ago when the Grizzlies were the 2 seed. OKC wasn't even in the playoffs. You know, this iteration of Oklahoma City was. Houston wasn't in the playoffs, you know.
Dreadful.
And
yeah,
you beat Minnesota in the first round. You know, and now let's just go through all the things that have happened since then. Minnesota's passed you. Houston has passed you. OKC is undressing you right now.
I mean, let's be honest. Houston and Minnesota have passed you by 1 and 2 games each. 1 game and 2 games? Like, what were the standings,
Houston,
Jeffrey?
Houston,
standings? Let's go with the actual standings. How much did Houston and Minnesota pass you by?
So I believe it was 3 games.
3 games for Houston and 1 for... you're on the same tier as those teams.
Yeah, but Houston beat you for the season series and punks you for most of those
games.
That's
true. Well, that's fine. Then you can't
four
say...
were 4 games from second, and they were 2 games from third.
And you beat Memphis, and you beat Minnesota in the series season series.
Right, but there's no NBA person that would take the Grizzlies up roster.
I think a lot would say that are on the same tier, that the Grizzlies and the not like right now, one is getting exposed against Oklahoma City, which literally just set a record for blowouts during the regular season. I reject that Memphis is on a different tier than Minnesota.
Well, I'm not. They've been passed. I mean, we could argue about it, and that would be the. That would be the, you know,
okay,
optimist
fine.
Case for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, you're overreacting. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Lots of things happen. Yes, that's true.
I think to bottom line this, you know, people are going to want this big move, right? They're going to want this big, like, fat man, little boy type move. There ain't one to make.
That's the problem.
Your head out of it. I think everybody needs to, like, to let go of that because – there's nothing the Grizzlies – I don't even think that they are necessarily – that they necessarily even should.
The only the only big move they will make, big move, seismic move – well, I mean, I don't consider us changing the coach to be a big move, and I think that's up in the air. So that could very well happen, right? Getting rid of Zach Kleiman would be a big move, I do think. And given how well he's fundamentally drafted, despite everything, I don't anticipate that.
Yeah.
But you never know.
Right.
Like, it's in the mind of Robert Parra. But I'm with you. The only, in terms of roster moves, the only big move they will make is one that they are forced to make.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it'd be tough to bring back the coach and the team. So they're going to have to do something about that.
Just for marketing purposes, you mean?
Yeah, like, you got to sell some tickets, man. Like, you got to get people excited about this thing somehow or another. Listen, they ran into the second highest rated net team in the history of the NBA, you know, behind the 96 Bulls. I'm not really surprised that they're losing in this fashion.
We all knew this was going to happen. It's why we had the debate. Yeah. Do you want to lose Friday or do you want to get swept? That was the choice. You know, like, we all knew it was going to happen. Shouldn't be surprising to anybody.
Some people were holding on though, man. They were holding on. They were like, man, Marvin Bagley. Let's see. Holy God, that guy sucks. I mean, he put him out there yesterday. They wouldn't pass him the ball. He was getting cooked in every single. I mean, he was getting absolutely fish fried out there yesterday. How about no more Bagley minutes? I can't believe people thought he was the key to game two. That was crazy.
So Penny talked yesterday. What did you make of what Penny said? He said things are out of control. He said he hasn't shut the door on P.J. Haggerty. His tone of voice sounded like he'd shut the door on P.J. Haggerty. He didn't think he'd be walking through that door anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you don't shut the door on it. You don't say, you're not welcome here anymore, and I get the hell out. You know, you don't do that. You just know that it's over. You know what I mean? Like, it almost sounded like a mutual breakup. Because not that the Tigers wanted to get away from him, but, like, they understand, you know, hey, we can't pay you $3 million. We're not going to pay you $3.5 million. Like, so we understand that you got to go somewhere else to get that. We respect what you did for us. We appreciate it, and we wish you very well. You know, I mean, it's really you know, pretty easy to understand. Yeah, I mean, I think Memphis is doing the best it can within its confines. You know, we'll see how they kind of finish it up. They got to get a big. You know, but you just don't know. I was talking to a head coach about this the other day. Like, you have no idea how any of this is going to fit together until you see it on the floor. That's the crazy part. Is like, and that's why it's so hard, you know. Like, the best teams in America, this is like not – I mean, again, this is very easy to understand. But those are the teams that are bringing back guys, you know, that have continuity because they know what to expect. They know how to work around it. They know how to make it fit together. Whereas when you have 6, 7, 8 new people every single year, which is what Memphis has had and a lot of schools have had, but it's very hard to, you know, keep rolling sevens on the come out. You know what I mean? Like, at some point, we saw this in 23, 24 even. You're going to crap out. And, you know, you just hope that, you know, your streak continues with this group. So, I don't know. I could see it being okay. But, you know, it's just a pure shot in the dark right now.
That's your assessment. See it being okay for this coming year?
Yeah, I mean, you're you know...
That's discouraging.
Well, I mean, come on. Like, who's the best player on this roster? I mean, who's the dude? Who's the, you know, at least with
Dane Danger is the best player in the roster.
A, he's not even committed, and B, he can't even play. He doesn't even have eligibility. I mean, how many times are we gonna go through this? How many times we gotta go through this whole waiver thing, hoping that Memphis gets a waiver? Have they ever gotten a waiver? I think the only one they got was DeAndre that year from the athletic director, right? Like, they ended up winning that one because the AD was fighting it. Remember that from Evansville? I think that's the only time that they've actually been successful, you know, with something like that. So I'm not holding my breath at all on Dane. So, Zach Davis, you know, Quante Berry, you know, Thedford, like. It's not bad. Like, these players are not bad individually.
It's interesting, though. I mean, we don't have any idea yet. But if you were to compare this roster or the way this roster, let's say that it's filled with that level player, okay?
Yeah.
And they can add more of that level player, of the level of player that we've seen added over the last 2 weeks. Will this roster be the worst roster that Penny has had?
We do this every year, right? Like,
no, but we didn't think last year was the worst roster. We certainly didn't think the year before was. When you honestly, we always think that the first year was the worst roster, and it was.
Well, and it was, but only by default. Like, he inherited a team, you know, and then he had a bunch of, like, you know, average freshmen come in. Like, it wasn't like.
But would Jeremiah be the best player on this team? Yes.
Oh, Jeremiah would 100%. Be like a godsend right now.
Godsend
easily, yeah. Like,
team. Yeah.
He's like, oh, now I get it. Now I know how I'm going to play. I know who I'm going to play through. I know. And I think that's, like, where Penny has struggled in his time at Memphis is that when he actually has to delegate and he has to say, all right, you're the guy, and then you're going to be the second guy, and then you're going to be – like, that is where – you know, because last year, again – it was obvious. P.J. Haggerty was coming over as a 20-point-a-game scorer, freshman of the year. Tyrese Hunter was a very, he was a vet that was willing to sacrifice, which he did. It was great. Dane was going to be your big in the post and was willing to pass, right? At least, you know, threatened to pass. And where he has struggled is, I think, about 21, 22, right, when he had brought in Amani Bates and Jalen Duren and Landers Nolley and DeAndre Williams. That was a struggle. 23-24. That was a struggle.
Last question, then I'm good. You know, Stansberry was instrumental in putting together last year's roster.
Yeah.
Do you think he's missed?
I think the money is missed.
It's just the money. Yeah.
I think that's it's the fact that you had he had so much. You had so much more money to throw around, man. I just don't think people understand. I think people understand now because we've been beating them over the head with it. But Memphis was wealthy a year ago. They were legitimately wealthy. You know, people were when you were paying guys $1 million, $1.5 million. That was like top 10% of the sport. Okay, that's what I'm trying to explain to people. Now $1 million, you might not even get somebody that's a Power Five starter to answer the phone. Like 1.5 to 2 is like the going rate for a Power Five starter. You know, and I think that's the. I'm not saying it's always going to be that way. You know, like it seems crazy to me, but you know, 4.5 does not buy what it bought in 2024. The transfer tariffs, man.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
All right, brother.
That's God John Martin every single day from 11 to 2. If you're selling your house, call Josh Heisa, 901-461-8147, and the team at Keller Williams Realty. Kyle and Amanda were selling their house, recent clients, and they got a bunch of kids. They're like, we don't want to have to pay $15,000 fixing up this house and then having an open house, and then anytime someone wants to see it. So they called Josh and they said, listen, this instant cash offer thing you do at full market value, how's that work? And so they called 901-461-8147. Josh comes to their house. Sure enough, gives them an offer at full market value for their house. They say, let's do that. And they do that. And you got up to 4 months to move at your leisure, whatever you want to do. And honestly, it simplifies the whole process. Now, Josh Heisa will sell your house the traditional way as well. And there's all kinds of advantages. He's great at marketing your home. Flexible fees, no upfront costs, let you out of your contract at all, anytime. All of that available to you. All you got to do is call Josh Heisa if you're thinking of selling your house. 901-461-8147 or joshhasthebuyers.com. I'm just going to presume that Chris Harrington is on his way back from Oklahoma City, driving through, where do you go, Jeffrey? Arkansas. A lot of Arkansas is involved.
Yeah, I think it's just
Oklahoma and then Arkansas. Yeah, that's about it. So we'll catch up with Chris Harrington on the other side. It's Jeff Gawkins, 92.9 FM ESPN.